This is Pastor Tom Martin of Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Silver Spring, Maryland, inviting you to worship God this Lord's Day evening, February 28th, 2021. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no one like him, for he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. We brag about all kinds of people, don't we? Celebrities, performers, our sports heroes. There's no one like her. There's no one like him. And the Christian says, there's no one like God. What a privilege then for us to be called into his presence to worship him. Listen to his call to worship. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? People of God, grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, there is no one like you, one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things, visible and invisible, one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, begotten of the Father before all worlds, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. By him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. One Holy Spirit, by whom we were all baptized into one body. One Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We worship you as the only living and true God, our God. And we do so coming in the name of Jesus our Saviour, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we are saved. We ask that you come among us now for the sake of Jesus our Saviour. Amen. At this time, you may pause this recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 127, words from Psalm 147. With songs and honours sounding loud, address the Lord on high. Trinity Hymnal number 127. Now we read from the New Testament, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. We're going to read verses 11 through 19. Psalm 92 tells us that it's good to give thanks to the Lord. It may be a good thing to do, but we're not always very good at doing it. In fact, our appeals for help can often be a lot more heartfelt than our acknowledgement for the help that we've been given. Luke gives us a powerful illustration of that when he describes an incident that took place when Jesus was travelling in the border country between the territory of Galilee and that of the Samaritans, a people whom the Jews of Jesus' day looked down on as spiritually inferior to them. But here's a Samaritan that we can all learn from. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11, here's God's word. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." That's the word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And we thank you now for your blessings that go beyond our ability to number. We can't even count them. Besides the kindnesses that we recognize, we know that there are many more that we don't even notice. And there are still more that are hidden from us because your ways are past our finding out. Now, we confess that we dwell a lot on the things that are not to our liking, the things that didn't turn out the way we'd hoped, the things that didn't fulfill our expectations. And yes, there are a lot of things that we'd have liked that you have withheld from us. There are even things that we liked a lot that you've taken away from us. We pray that you would forgive us for our unreasonable expectations, our idolatrous cravings, and our ungrateful dissatisfaction. Instead, we pray that we'll grow in gratitude and that we'll practice it. Help us to pray so that we're not just asking for the things we want, but praising you for the things that you've given to us. And we pray that those things won't be a snare to us, but that we'll hold them with open hands because they're yours to give and they're yours to take back. You've blessed us through the kindnesses of others. We pray that we would recognize them as the instruments of your loving generosity and that we'd be grateful to you and to them. Open our eyes to see the thoughtfulness of others, to be aware of their sacrifices on our account, to notice their deeds of service and their acts of love. We pray that we'll not hesitate to express our gratitude to them. And we ask that you'd give us the words to say and the actions to be able to respond in kind to their kindness. Help us to learn from their example. And finally, we thank you that you hear the prayers of your grateful children. And we ask that as we bring to you our prayers with thanksgiving, that you'll accept them for the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. This evening we return to 1 Samuel. Reading tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And now, of course, Hannah is the happy mother of a son. And in the circumstances, we would not be in the least surprised to hear her say, "There's no one like my son Samuel." But in fact, she says, "There's no one like my God, the Lord." Listen as Hannah sings the praises of her God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Here's God's word. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God.' Talk no more so very loudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." That's the word of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we recall how Moses marveled at the high privilege given to your Old Testament people. What other nation is there whose God has spoken to them the way you spoke to Old Testament Israel? And now tonight, our Father, we come asking that we may enjoy that same privilege as we come to your word. We ask that you would speak to us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what are you so happy about? Here's someone who's very, very happy indeed. Oftentimes it's the unhappy people that we hear from. Even though Hannah had previously been very miserable, she was actually silently miserable. We didn't hear much about her misery. Sometimes misery is audible, sometimes misery is silent. And of course, sometimes we don't hear from the happy people either. Their happiness can be pretty silent, but not Hannah. Hannah is really happy. She's really grateful, and she lets everybody know about it. She prays, and her prayer is a song. The distinction is a blurry one. Maybe her prayer is shaped by some of these songs that she heard used by the worshippers at Shiloh. It's a great thing for us to be able to take the words of psalms and good hymns and be able to work those into our prayers and inform our prayers and give us a vocabulary to express things. But in Hannah's case, it's certainly not a form prayer. It's not a formal prayer. It's a heartfelt prayer because it's a deeply personal celebration on Hannah's part. And she's, as we look at the three verses we have before us this evening, we're going to see in verse 1 that she celebrates God's goodness. In verse 2, she celebrates God's greatness. And in verse 3, she celebrates God's worthiness. So we can take the three verses and think about them in that way. And so verse 1, Hannah is celebrating the Lord's goodness. Listen to what she says. My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Now, of course, Hannah's making a couple of statements that we might wonder at. What's she getting at? But it's very clear. It's very clear that she is absolutely ecstatic. She's exultant. She's bubbling over. She's exuberant with praise and gratitude. And that ecstasy, that gratitude finds words to express itself. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And Hannah is doing that. She's modeling that for us. Her delight, the joy of her heart, finds vocabulary and words to express itself to God. What a great example Hannah sets before us. And James picks up on the principle that underlies that in James chapter 5, verse 13, where he says, "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." Isn't that great? Cheerful people should sing praise. And of course, praises often take the form of prayers. Have you noticed that? How many times good hymns and psalms, even though they're praises to God, they're actually prayers. We're praying to God. And so here's Hannah, who has words of praise that she works into her prayer. And if it seems that she's absolutely bubbling over with great exuberance and enthusiasm, we can be sure that God doesn't recoil from that kind of heartfelt emotion. He's not embarrassed by it in the least. And so she celebrates. And yes, she does make a couple of remarks that we might wonder about. My horn is exalted. She's using the imagery of nature, isn't she? And she's, you might think of that, the stag with his horns, his antlers, and here he is, he's triumphant. Hannah has experienced victory through the Lord. The Lord has allowed her to triumph over the sadness of her barrenness. She is a son. My horn is exalted. She's using rich imagery to be able to express what's in her heart. And then she says, you notice, she says, my mouth derides. Literally, she says, my mouth is enlarged. And now she's got something to speak about, something to sing about, something to celebrate. It's a figure of speech that she's using here. Previously, Hannah was tight-lipped in the presence of her trial and her difficulty. She was tight-lipped. She bottled up what she felt inside, but now she's able to speak out. She has the last word. And of course, that's God's people have the last word because God gives us victory. We may have to be silent in the face of trial and hardship and difficulty, but in the end, God's people find themselves celebrating God's goodness. We find ourselves with things to say, things to rejoice in. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise, says Psalm 51, verse 15. Here's Hannah. Her lips have been opened. Her mouth is enlarged. She's singing out. She's singing out. She says, I rejoice in your salvation. Now, God is a saving God. There's the great salvation that's accomplished in the Lord Jesus. But someone has said that God also performs deeds of micro salvation. There's the big salvation that comes first into our mind. But God's always delivering his people, getting us out of situations that would be utterly hopeless for us. Our God is a God of salvation. That's what Psalm 68, verse 20 says. That's his specialty. He specializes in saving. And the small deliverances, the small acts of salvation remind us that Jesus is the Savior. Our God, who is a saving God, saves in Jesus. He is a God of salvation. So she celebrates God's goodness, but she celebrates God's greatness. And that's what comes into focus in verse 2. She turns from her personal experience to think about who God is. In other words, she's asking the question, who would have done such a thing? Who would do a thing like this? And she says in verse 2, there is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. This is a woman who knows her God. She knows what kind of God he is. And she has the words and the images and the concepts that allow her to be able to describe him. If we're describing something that we're very familiar with, we have all the language and vocabulary and jargon and terminology to be able to describe it. And here's a woman who's speaking about God, and she uses the language of Scripture. She's using biblical terms. She's using biblical descriptions. She knows who her God is, and she confesses him. She's not like those Athenians who raised their altar, the altar that we read about in Acts 17, verse 23, the altar directed to an unknown God. She knows who her God is. And it's so important for us to be instructed from God's word so that we know who our God is. What's the character of our God? Who is the God with whom we have to do? And of course, not only do the scriptures reveal who God is, our confessions summarize who God is, so we're not left to our idolatrous imaginations. We know who God is, and it's a great thing. Let me encourage you to probe and ransack and explore Scripture to know who God is. So you've got the vocabulary and the language and the imagery to be able to celebrate the character, the greatness of our God. And so she celebrates his greatness. Now, she might have been fixated with her son, and I'm sure she loved that child to death. But she's able to look past the gift. What a precious gift it is. She's able to look past the gift to recognize the giver. Matthew Henry says, Hannah overlooks the gift and praises the giver, whereas most forget the giver and fasten only on the gift. Every stream should lead us to the fountain, and the favors we receive from God should raise our admiration of the infinite perfections there are in God. God's goodness to us prompts us to celebrate those characteristics that distinguish our God. And Jeremiah, you remember, reminds us in chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. You see, not the gift, but the giver. Celebrate the giver. Someone writing about the disappointment that some people experience with God arrives at the conclusion that the problem many Christians have is that they value God only on account of what he could do for them. Here's a celebration of God's worthiness. Hannah celebrates God for who he is. There's no one holy like the Lord. There's no one beside you. There's no rock like our God. She celebrates God's greatness, and she celebrates his worthiness. She's not going to place her confidence elsewhere. And in verse 3, we hear her addressing the community. Now, it's the Hebrew is plural. She's not speaking to Peninnah. You might think she's addressing Peninnah in verse 3, but the verb is plural. She's speaking to the community. And she says, God's the one who's worthy of praise, not us. God's the one who weighs our efforts. Listen to verse 3. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Don't boast about yourself. Don't be arrogant. Don't be prideful. Don't be a braggart. God knows exactly who you are. He's able to weigh you up. Hannah's language is really very, it's very vivid. She says, speak not so very proudly. And the Hebrew is a repetition. It's a repetition of the Hebrew word for mighty. Don't talk mighty, mighty. And you know, there are a lot of people who talk mighty, mighty. There are a lot of people whose words are grand and big and boastful. And really, there's nothing behind them. Someone has written, here's a general warning to all self-sufficient boasters. Don't be a mighty, mighty talker. Don't speak very proudly. Paul, who had lots of things to boast about, you remember? He had lots of things, and I'm sure Saul of Tarsus did boast about some of those things. I'm sure had you listened to Saul of Tarsus, you might have said, well, here's someone who talks mighty, mighty. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul the Apostle says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Isn't that great? Isaac Watts writes, Jesus, my Lord, I know his name. His name is all my boast. Nor will he put my soul to shame, nor let my hope be lost. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face, and in the New Jerusalem appoint my soul a place. That is all of God's grace. The God who is worthy of worship and praise, before whom we humble ourselves. The God who is a God of kindness and generosity and goodness. The God who has given us a Saviour, and who is ready, who is not ashamed, to call us his own sons and daughters. How can we fail to worship such a God? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great kindness to us in Jesus. I pray that we, your people, would have glad and thankful hearts, that we would sing your praises, and that our prayers would be characterized by a spirit of gratitude for your goodness to us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, you may pause this recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 405. God that madest earth and heaven, darkness and light. Trinity Hymnal number 405. And now, people of God, lift up your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction with wonder and gratitude. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.